when Jammeh took power, he was earning less than $300 a month. Today, he is claiming to be one of the richest people in Africa. He was so poor that he was extremely malnourished when he came to power. Today, he's living an extravagant lifestyle at the expense of the Gambian people. And you have a government that do not necessarily care. They are not doing anything tangible to alleviate the economic situation of the Gambian people. Whatever he says goes, they don't scrutinize him, and they don't even have the capability of turning around the economy of that country because they are corrupt.
What is the culture coup and the significance of the July 22nd anniversary celebration?
Well, to those Gambians who are interested in human rights and liberty, it is the day when the democratically elected government was usurped by the military. And since that period, Gambians' rights have been stifled. People have been put in jail, some have been arrested daily, and people have even gone as far as being murdered. So to us, it is one of the darkest days in the history of that nation.
How many people are taking part in the Washington, D.C. protest?
We have between 30 to 50 people. You have people from across nations whose only concern is their fervent belief in fundamental human and constitutional rights.
And what kind of observances are planned to mark the actual 15th anniversary?
There was one held in England. It was also organized by Amnesty International. And there will be a demonstration today in New York to protest. And people would do whatever it takes to tell the whole world that this guy is one of the most vicious dictators.
What role is Amnesty International playing in these protests?
Amnesty International has been in the forefront of trying to highlight the human rights situation in the Gambia. And the rallying point today is Ibrahim Chifmane, who was abducted by the NIA 3 years ago and has since been missing. Our being here today is to use Ibrahim in a greater scheme of things. There is a serious problem with the independent media in the Gambia because the guy closes all the media houses. As we speak now, independent newspaper, which was one of the most independent media houses, is closed. Radio Citizen FM is closed. So you have Foreya, which tries to do it. Point newspaper is restrained after the assassination of its editor-in-chief, Deida Hedra. So you have a serious dilemma in getting always the true picture of the situation in the Gambia based on reports coming out of there. We're talking about Kanjiba Kanyi, who is today under detention, and nobody knows whether he's alive or dead. Kuro Sise, who was murdered in cold blood. We're talking about the 14 students who were murdered on the 10th, 11th, April 2000. We're talking about Deida Hedra, who was assassinated by the Jammeh regime. This is just a tip of the iceberg. It is very encouraging that the Gambia has become the forefront of human rights violations now. People like Senator Durbin, who is the number two person in the U.S. Senate, is in the forefront in asking for the whereabouts of Chifmane. So if you have members of Congress, members of the Senate, writing to the president, urging the release of Chifmane, if you have somebody like Senator Durbin calling for the release of Chifmane on the Senate floor, I think it's very encouraging to us who've been fighting for 15 years to see human rights and democracy in the Gambia.
On this eve of the anniversary, there has been an article about the National Alliance for Democracy and Development, the opposition party in the country. Mr. Khalifa Saleh has criticized the celebration of the July 22nd event. What are the election prospects for the opposition and the opportunities for debating critical issues about the direction the country is going in?
Boy, the prospects are very, very, very slim. The problem here is you have a government that monopolizes the media. So most of the time, the opposition do not even have a chance to be able to get their message out of there. Khalifa has been very good at doing that because he uses the Foreya newspaper. And as we speak now, the editor of the paper is going to go in trial through a kangaroo court on bogus charges. But the situation here is, and having a free and fair election is nearly impossible in the Gambia for the basic fact that this is a president who violates the constitution with impunity. He has fired the chairman of the IEC on numerous occasions, and this he had no constitutional right to do so. So unless you can have a level playing field, you would not be able to have free and fair elections. And that would mean that the opposition will have to confront this guy harder. The international community must also realize the dangers that are very imminent in the Gambia by the actions of this guy. Unless we have that, there is absolutely no doubt that we will not have free and fair elections. And the opposition, of course, Khalifa Saleh was just arrested, what, about a few weeks ago?
Right.
Speaking his mind. So this is the problem that we go through. He arrests and releases these people at whim. And you have a judiciary that is neither independent nor credible. You have the National Assembly, which is almost a rubber stamp. So there is no separation of powers in the country. You have a person who monopolizes power and would not stop at doing anything to stifle critic or dissent.
What do you hope to accomplish with the protests in Washington, D.C. and New York?
What What we really hope to achieve is for the international community to know that Mugabe is not the only bad leader in Africa. I don't have hope that Jammeh would ever change, but, you know, maybe he would realize that it does not pay to continue to abrogate the rights of people. What does one have to gain by killing an innocent person like Chief Mane or having him incommunicado for 3 years? Today, his family are really pretty much relying on help from organizations like the GPU USA and other people. So we only hope that the Gambian people will realize that what we have is not what is better for us.
Do you see any signs of hope in Gambia today, some positive evidence of the possibility of change in Gambia?
No. You see, the opposition is trying all they could. But the opposition is so restrained. You know, you have a president, Yahya Jammeh, who had no problem putting $1 million in a suitcase and giving it to somebody. So the opposition is underfunded. They do not have the resources to fight this guy, but they're fighting within their limits.
So summing up, what is the significance to you of the 15th anniversary? Where do we stand now, and what are the prospects for the future?
I hope the prospect would be that this regime would come to an abrupt end. I am hoping that the international community will finally come to realize how dangerous this guy is. And most importantly, it's also the mere fact that people who've been accusing us of just hating this guy have now the evidence that every year the human rights situation in the Gambia is worsening. 15 years ago, Gambia was being called the champion of human rights in Africa. This was why we housed the African Commission on Human and People's Rights. This was why in 1989, the African Center for Democracy and Human Rights Studies was in the Gambia, created by an act of Gambian Parliament. Today, every aspect of that is eroded. Section 25 of the Gambian Constitution guarantees freedom of expression and opinion, just as Article 19 of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, Article 9 of the African Charter on Human Rights. These are all documents that Gambia is a signatory to. All these things are abrogated today. So I am hoping that maybe Gambia would come out of this dilemma and get a leader that would address their basic needs and aspirations.